The announcement for the week, a ladies' Bible study will be today at 4 o'clock, right here. Not over there, you're right here. Got the thumbs up on that one. Make sure I got it in. Lunch and Learn, the 30th, 12 o'clock for new members. You got questions about what goes on in the church, how the church acts, how you become a Christian, how you transfer your membership or whatever. That is for you. It's Thursday, I believe, at 12 o'clock. Lunch provided?
Yes.
Oh, lunch is provided, so that's even better. Everybody will be there now. All right, Wednesday night, we're back to regular service. Wednesday morning, too, for Bible prayer meeting. Personnel committee meeting on the 2nd of February. The 3rd of February, WMU at Miss Lucille's. Men's and women's breakfast combined on February 8th here. So if you don't mind, kind of give us a number so we'll be prepared. Usually we have about 10 or 12 men, but if we're going to double it up, triple it up with all the women to come, we need to know. That way James can cook 3 eggs instead of 4. All right. Praise team, I need you up here. Come on up. I need some help.
Here,
that's yours.
That's
yours. That's
where
we
get along.
Now we're going to prepare our hearts and minds right now that we got something else here. Give to the Lord.
Glory his name deserves. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Psalm 29:2.
Today, well, not just today, but this weekend, we have a special celebration. It's Betty Cleveland, 95 years old. I can contest to this. I've known Miss Betty a few years. Miss Brown was my first grade teacher. Miss Jordan, I'm sorry, Miss Webb was my second. Miss Jordan my third. I can go back through that. Miss Betty, I think she kept me during detention. but she was language and literature or whatever. I learned a little bit, believe it or not, but she was a blessing. And even today, I look at her as a blessing. As I meet her in the hall, talk to her many times, but she's inspired my life more than I really realize. And I've told her this a while back when I do some writing or reading and all that. But thank you for all that. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today just celebrating life and what you give us and the excitement it can be and the opportunities that we have. We have the opportunities to inspire one another, to love one another, and to care for one another. And Father, I thank you for this church and what it means to me and my family and what we mean to each other. Because if it wasn't for each other, we probably wouldn't be here. Father, we love you. Ask you to bless us. Bless us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I also had Miss Betty for senior English and enjoyed it, which is great because I'm a math person. I majored in math, so to enjoy an English class was pretty awesome. Thank you. All right, let's stand and sing our call to worship. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
There's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time.
That's good.
Praise God. It's so good to be here. We're praying. We had a very busy weekend, but a very grateful and thankful and marvelous weekend. I think we did just about everything except roofing. But we did just about everything this weekend. But it's good. God's people are moving, and we're moving. The Spirit of God is moving us.
Yes.
And we're praying for this city. And I believe it's going to happen. I believe we will see revival. Break loose in Fort Valley. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to say just thank you so much to the Cleveland family for coming and pruning our trees in the prayer garden. And Brother Vic and Miss Melissa and other folks, Brother Bob, instrumental, and Brother Jack and Jim and Barry and Cecil and Vic and Beth and Lisa, Rosie. We had everybody out there pulling weeds and cutting and doing all kind of things. But it was great. If you're here for the first time or the second time, we'd love for you to fill our care card. And if you have a prayer request or anything, just put it right here. If you want to make a decision. So thank you so much for being here. And praise the Lord.
Like Ermana Dennis said, God's moving. We had a great refresh session Friday night and Saturday morning, and this next song, I Stand Amazed. I am amazed constantly by what God does.
Y'all forgive us. Sorry.
We didn't have we had a snow day on Wednesday, so we didn't get to practice this week.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. Your
but the snow this week reminded me of how great God is. His creation is beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't know if you know, but we were praying for our youth that went on a youth retreat. And so we have asked Miss Belinda if she would come. And we have Nevaeh, right? Nevaeh is with us. And we have other ones, but they're sick today. And then we'll have three Hispanic children, youth that went, and they're going to be sharing later this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So just want to just, what was the experience like? And
I'm going to take up your sermon.
Oh, you go ahead, yeah.
First of all, I want to thank Susan Barfield because she told us about the retreat that was being offered at Camp John Hope this past weekend, or last weekend, whenever it was, which is a great opportunity. Which is a great opportunity for us because we had a lot of first-timers that had never... We had a lot of...
There we go.
I want to thank Ms. Susan Barfield because she was the one that told us about the youth retreat. And it was a great opportunity because we had a lot of youth that this was their first time away from home. So we were close enough. If there was an emergency, homesickness, we could deal with it. But we were far enough away that we could have our space. I also want to thank my bus drivers, Mr. Jim and Ms. Beth, our chaperone. And then also what you don't know is before the retreat, Sunday night, that week before, Mr. Vic took us bowling and we went to eat pizza because we felt like we needed to bond as a youth group. It'd been a long time since we'd had that.
Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord.
What I want to say is there was praise music. There were live bands. There were testimonies. There was scripture. There was activities. The only problem I saw was there wasn't anything for me to do it except to sit and participate. it touched a lot of our kids that weekend. You could see the emotion in their face. You could see it in their hearts. And I think they came back with a renewed spirit. You know, the candle got brighter. And so our goal as a church is to keep that fire or flame shining bright. When we left on Friday, it was a beautiful day, and it reminded me of the day that my kids used to go off on youth retreats because we had the youth leaders, Mr. Bob, we had our pastor there, we had the parents there, then we had the group there, all circled up in prayer. And that's how you start a youth retreat. One of the things, and then I'm going to turn it to Nevaeh, that you need to know too is these kids are doing a lot of outreach already. Since Christmas, they've been inviting teachers to come to church. They've invited their friends to come to the activities and the retreats and things like that. They are on fire for the Lord, and they're wanting to learn. They're wanting to serve. They're wanting to go. So we just need to keep fulfilling that spirit.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm going to turn it over to Nevaeh. Two of our youth are sick, one with strep throat and one with bronchitis and all. So it is legitimate. They didn't just bow out. But it was a good, healthy cry, right?
Amen.
I made her cry.
Oh.
Because I'm so proud of them. Tell what you like. What part did you like? The food?
I like the last night we did worship.
The last night you did worship? What was special about that to you? Did you feel God talking in your heart? Did you develop new friendships that you felt like you could grow with?
Yes.
And I think that's what this retreat did, is it gave them some renewed fellowship with each other. So I think you're going to see. We had six go. There were more that could go. And we've got more, if you look in the back, kids that are fixing to grow up next year and to the youth. This is something that I think that we will continue to encourage. And so... we want to continue with that. And Miss Beth back there, did you want to add any one little thing about this trip?
You know,
Amen. Amen.
So that was very encouraging to see, and it just lifted us up.
Amen.
Of their joy spilling over.
And we couldn't do it without our bus drivers and chaperones. But Miss Penny also was a chaperone on our trip. But because of them, we're able to go outside of this boundary and learn and share and participate in this blanket Christian fellowship.
Amen.
So,
thank you very much. Thank you. All right. If you can turn the screen in the back, please, I appreciate it. There it is. Thank you very much. The Lord is at work, and we need to join Him in what God is doing. And so the Lord is, these children and the youth are excited, and God is doing a lot of things in our hearts. And God, it's, all right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to thank you for all your help this weekend. I thought we had a great weekend. Really appreciate Brother Stephen Woods from Sandy Valley who came. And we help and help us to teach the material that we're using and so just thank you for your support and for the meals and the breaks and everything. So we really, really appreciate you very much. I thank you for praying for me to preach this series. These minor prophets are not easy to preach if you read through the minor prophets, but you know it's God's word and we have to preach it. We have to preach it. And so we continue today, and we're going to be in the book of Amos. Now, the goal was that we were going to eat some Amos cookies today. But they're probably somewhere in Minnesota in the snow or somewhere. They never made it. So, but maybe we'll have them next week. We'll see. But anyway, so if you turn your Bibles to the book of Amos, and we're just going to read one verse, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word in chapter 7 and verse 7. We have it up in the screen as well. It says, "Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand." Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. There is no better place to be than in your house. It's your house. And Father, we ask now that you speak to us. You understand where we are in our journey. You know where we find ourselves this day in 2025. And so we ask now that you speak to us. Father, that you minister to us. Father, that you help us to understand what is it that you want us to do. Father, I'm reminded of Saul when you manifested yourself on his way to Damascus. And he fell to the ground and he asked the question, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Father, help us to get back there. Help us all as a congregation, as believers, as followers of Christ, as people who praise you and worship you. Father, let us come back to that question again. Lord, what do you want me to do? Father, speak to us now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. A plumb line measures correctly. It's a measurement to make sure that things are correct, they're aligned. And so God sends his prophet Amos. He sends it to Israel. The book begins very, very interesting because it doesn't begin with Israel, but it begins with the neighboring countries. For instance, God makes 8 statements of judgment on Israel's neighbor nations, and then judges Israel. For instance, the nations being judged in Amos 1:6, Gaza, Tyre in 1:9, Edom in 1:11, Moab in 2:1, and then Judah in Amos 2:4. Meanwhile, Israel is just looking, and he's seeing what is happening. He's probably pumping his fists. He's probably doing high fives. He's probably saying, finally. He's probably saying, good. He's probably saying, yeah, you deserve it. He's probably saying, it's about time God does something with them. But then all of a sudden, something happens. The tide turns. And God comes to Israel. See, Israel thought, well, we're God's people. We're good. They deserve it. Oh, yeah, they deserve it. Those folks over there, they are idol worshipers. Oh, they do all kind of crazy things. Oh, they deserve it, all right. But then God turns to his people. And then he drops the plumb line. And now the movie begins. And so he makes a list now of his own people. And he was like, wait a minute, God, but we're your people. We're good. You are our Lord. You're our Savior. We're the ones who live in the Bible Belt. We're good. We're saved. We touch him, play. We're good, Lord. I said, well, wait a minute now. We need to talk. We need to have a conversation here. So he makes a list. You see, during Jeroboam, probably the second in the 8th century, Israel had become so prosperous. Some say that they had become prosperous just like in the times of David when David was king. Prosperity, unfortunately, created social classes. It wasn't just Israel, one nation. It was Israel with many social classes. Most were high classes, some middle class, and a good number of lower class have developed. So the higher class were taking advantage of the poor. The courts had become corrupt. There was no justice anymore. The religious sector, the spiritual leaders had become corrupt. As a matter of fact, Amos was not a prophet, as we think he is. If you look at 7:14, Amos says, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep bearer, a tender of sycamore trees. Things were so bad that God could not even use a spiritual person to bring a spiritual message. It was so bad. The rich kept getting richer, and the poor kept getting poorer. Poor. There was social injustice. There was abuse of the poor. And this is all their own people. It's all part of Israel. And all of this is happening. So now God drops the plumb line. Being a child of God has great responsibilities. So while all of this is happening, God is so good. God always allows U-turns. If you miss a base, you can run back before you get striked out. And you're good. You can keep on the base and wait until there's a ball out there in left field, and you can steal the next base again. God calls his people to repentance. He said, that's not me, says the Lord. That's not me. So he wants them to repent. He wants us to come back. He wants them to fulfill their purposes, to live righteously, to turn to him. God wants us to turn to him. Amen? We need to seek the Lord. The fact that we are God's children, the fact that we are in the Bible Belt, the fact that we come to the church, the fact that we carry a Bible, does not mean that we are living righteously and holy living. But you know, that's exactly what God wanted from his people. Being a child of God has great responsibilities. God is going to grow his kingdom through us. It's through folks like Miss Belinda and Vic and Jim and Miss Lucille and Vic and all of us here today. God is going to grow his kingdom. He wants his kingdom to grow. I'm so excited. Yesterday, for the first time, we took the Hispanic mission on missions. We hit the streets yesterday. We knocked on some doors yesterday. The good thing about Hispanic people, they don't have a lot of big dogs. Most of them got chihuahuas. Some of the chihuahuas are bilingual too. We have a mixed chihuahua. Hit the streets. How is the kingdom going to grow? Through you and through me. God has us here for a purpose. He wants us to expand his kingdom, not mine. This is not really about us. It's about the Lord being glorified. It's not about us. We are his people. Sometimes the roles get mixed up. So Israel had lost their purpose. They lost their identity. They were just the title. They were just the title. They were God's people. But that was it. There was nothing else. There was nothing special about them. You know, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, people feared them. They said, the Israelites are coming. Oh, man, let's get under the bed. They're coming. They have no fear no more. I wonder how the world looks at us today. Because we are his people. Right here. And maybe God just needs to drop the plumb line right here. I had an interesting week this week. Special time with the Lord. I set the alarm and I tell the Lord, just wake me up, Lord, whenever you want. I belong to you. And the Lord said, you're not praising me anymore. All you're doing is asking and asking and asking. You don't praise me anymore. And he led me to Genesis 12, Abraham. I said, I'm going to see what Abraham did. And Abraham, when God called him, he went to Shechem. And he created an altar there because God appeared to him. And then he camped and started his new home between Bethel and Ai, right there. And he built another altar and he worshiped God. Then he went off to Egypt. And then came back. Said Sarah was his sister. And when he came back home, you know what he did? He worshiped the Lord again. His home was a place of worship. Our homes need to become places of worship. See, when we come to the house of God, we're saying, I'm coming to worship. And yes, we are. But if we look at Abraham, he didn't, because they didn't have a temple, obviously, but he was already worshiping at home. He started praising God at home. His house became a place of worship. When was the last time you praised God at home? Today. Is home now a place to go and complain? I just can't wait this snow to leave, these temperatures. Oh, my Lord, just help me. I can't even go out anymore, Lord. Amen. I thought we had a crowd here about 20 minutes ago. It was a place of worship. Our homes, when we wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, that I'm up this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this roof that you have given me. Thank you, Lord, that I can go to Walmart and fill my cart. Thank you, Lord, that my refrigerator is full of food. I just praise you, Lord, that you've given me a husband. You've given me a wife. You've given me children, Lord. You've blessed me with having kids. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for this roof that I have. Lord, I just thank you that my closet is full of clothes, Lord, that in Sunday morning I don't know what to wear. I got so much that you've given me. Praise you, Lord. Or you can get up and complain all day and just come to worship for an hour right here. God said, Dennis, you need to learn to worship me in my house. Your house, God said, is my house. I gave you that house. If it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't have a house. You wouldn't have a home. Sometimes we have taken possession now, and we are the gods now. Like God told Job, where were you when I created the heavens and earth? Where were you? So God drops the plumb line. He dropped it on me this week. You're not worshiping me anymore, Dennis. You need to start praising me. Learn from Abraham what he did. So Israel at this time, they're just a name. We're Baptists and we're Christians, and we go to church on Sunday. That's it. There's no power anymore. Do you know, and I've heard this many times, and I say it all the time, can you imagine that we are God's people in 2025? Can you imagine that we have the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us? Are you kidding me? Amen? Okay, we got a little group here. That's a start. That's powerful. Do you know that I can, from right here, if I bend my knees here and I call upon God, it goes straight through the throne of God. Amen? And yet the least thing we do is pray. And God says, I need to drop the plumb line. So Israel had become just a name. Listen, there is power in the name of God. There is power in prayer. There is power in the church that prays. There is power. And if we're going to have revival, brothers and sisters, We need to understand our identity in Christ. We need to find out, come back to the scripture and say, Lord, who am I? And the Lord said, you are a holy nation. You're my people. You have the power of God living in you. That's what's in you. That's what's in you. I think I'm changing coffee now. I'm having too much decaf again. Okay. Israel had taken their eyes off the Lord. They were gloating over the judgment of the other nations. And they never expected God to do anything. Well, he's our God. He loves us. He cares for us and all of that. And then all of a sudden something happened. But Amos reminds them that their expectations, that God, their expectations, God's expectations were higher than that. It's like you and I, we have children and we expect them to behave. We expect them to, there is a high expectation of them. And when they do something crazy, you feel disappointed. Because they carry your name. They carry the legacy of the family. And you feel it. And this is the same way with God. God says, you're my children. My expectations for you are really high. They're way up there. And so, the plumb line brings a couple of reminders. First of all, it reminds them of the personal and individual measurements. God was measuring Israel. He was measuring them. He was looking at them individually. He was looking at them as a home, but yet, see, they were looking at the neighbors. They were assessing and evaluating the neighbors. That's what they were doing. And God said, no, wait a minute. You have your eyes on the wrong place. You should not be looking at your neighbors. Sometimes, you know, we're always wondering what the neighbor is doing. In my neighborhood, there are like three houses that got the same color of car, the same car. It looks like a Nissan dealership. If the neighbor has it, I like that color. I think I'm going to go get one. And then the other neighbor said the same thing. You know, so now you got all these beautiful Nissans. In our community, we're always looking at the neighbor. Are you spending too much time in your neighbor's business? You're neglecting your own personal life. That's the question that Amos and the message that Amos brought to Israel. You're keeping too much on your neighbors. You're just worrying about what the neighbors are doing and not doing. Are you trying to be the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you say, well, you just need to do this. You know, that's what you need to do. And God said, no, what are you doing? This is why you got the Word of God. Sometimes we go in a different direction. Are you being a judge? Are you pointing the fingers? Yeah, it's your fault. You did it. Are you a peacemaker? Or when you show up, they say, here come trouble. They don't say it, but they just turn their backs and leave. Are you a quarreler? Tattletale? Gossip? I promise I won't tell anybody. And you got him on Facebook Live. Can you repeat that again, please? You got a lot of likes. I believe that when somebody shares and opens their heart with us, you should sip it, lock it, and like the teachers used to tell my boys, throw away the key. Or in your mind and your heart, you say, this is going to be good. I just can't wait to tell my. Israel was so focused on the neighbors that they forgot about God and who they were. Do you make promises that you do not keep? I'll do it 20 years ago. Don't you worry about it. You can count on me. I'll be there. You even sing the song, I'll be there. Never see you again. Where are you today? Where is the plumb line? What is it doing? You see, once it drops, it's a straight line. We cannot go left or right. But it was also a reminder about measuring the current resemblance. It was about measuring the current resemblance. There was nothing spiritual about them. Nothing spiritual. You know, this is a spiritual journey. We have the Word of God. If we're honest, we hardly read it. Some of the things that we learn from Hispanic church and Hispanic work is that people say, oh, they got a Bible at church. I don't need to even take mine. Let me remind you, and we sang it. We just sang, holy, holy, holy. God Almighty. We are God's people. And God is holy. And we need to overcome things. Because sometimes we drift. We need to move a little more closer to God. We need to pray more and seek God. We need to be in the Word more. We need to read it. We need to become spiritual people because that's what we are. That's what we are. And so God wanted to remind Israel, Israel, you don't resemble me anymore. There's nothing different between you and the nation that I'm judging right now. Those eight nations and you, they're all the same. There's nothing different about you and them, but you're my people who are called by my name. You need to come back and be who you're supposed to be, my people. That God can look at us from heaven. As a matter of fact, not he can, he's looking at us from heaven. Amen? You can wave at the Lord. That God can say, I got a remnant down in Fort Valley, Georgia. There is a remnant down there. Oh, they call upon me all the time. And they're making some noise down there. That's my people. My people. They did not resemble anymore. There was no difference. Whatever the world does, God's people were doing it too. No problem. Abuse of the poor, we'll do it. Injustice, we'll do it. Everything. So God had to drop the plumb line. Israel did not resemble who they were supposed to resemble. Israel was just a name with no resemblance of God. There was no faith, no longer the people of the Word. We need to come back. We need to come back. It was a foul ball. We need to come back to the base that we just left. It wasn't a home run. We need to come back. So how does the Bible reveal who God is? God sees us. He sees everything about us. Everything. Reminded of Jesus after he resurrected, the disciples had gathered there and they said, the word of God says that the door was closed and Jesus went right through it. He knows what goes behind that door of our homes and our bedrooms when we close it. He knows. He sees. He hears. Everything that you and I say. He knows. I had a call, interesting call. We were on the road with my wife last week, and a pastor called me. And all of a sudden, he started cursing. I had to hang up on him. He kind of reminded me of Amos. The whole religious spiritual leaders were all corrupt. I said, why are you? This is God's person. This is God, an ordained minister. See, God hears everything you and I say. And you know what? He knows everything. He knows how much debt you and I have. He knows how much we owe to American Express and Bank of America and Robbins Financial. He knows how much money we got in the account. He knows that this, what we have, is not going to cover what must be paid. But God is so faithful that month after month, oh, he always bails us through. I don't even remember what my light bill was January 2024. Because he is good. Amen. It's getting a little better now. A little more quiet here. Praise the Lord. I think we need to go to an evangelism conference and get excited again. When they preach in this evangelism conference, you know, the guy is preaching and say, come on, brother, come on. They help him out. I need some help. So, God sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. Israel only cared about themselves. Sell their children to benefit. Can you imagine where they were? They were even selling their own children. Do you care about the lost? Do you care about family members who are lost? I'm praying for mine. Because when you read the Bible, I know what's coming. We need to be praying about our families. We need to be praying for our next generation. If we don't pray for our next generation, and if we don't reach our next generation, we're going to be closing some churches. That's what's going to happen. Someone said, the church will never die, but a congregation can. We need to be praying. We need to be inviting. We need to say, come on. We need to be supporting. Children's ministry, youth ministry, single adults, single parents. We need to move to the next generation. We need to do it. You know, we don't know when God's going to take us home. Got word this week of distant relative walking in Miami Park, healthy, walking in the park, 44 years old, dropped dead. We don't know when. But I'm thankful that today, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. So what are we doing for a spiritual life? Prayer. Are we praying for them? Are we inviting people to come to the church? When you read the book of Acts, the church was penetrating. They were going. They were always moving and forward, trying to find a way to take the gospel. That's what the church did. By making an attempt to honor God, to be baptized, to even buy a Bible or read the Bible. Are we focusing the next generation? And finally, it's a reminder them to measure and update past promise. See, Israel had made a promise to God. We read back in Joshua. They told Joshua, if you do this, like we were with Moses, we will be with you as well. And they promised God they were going to be one nation, holy nation, walking with God. And they forgot. What promises did you make, have you made to God? And are you fulfilling them? Are you striving? Are you moving forward to try to fulfill them? It may be to be faithful to your wife. It may be able to be faithful to your children. It may be, Lord, I'm going to be with my family, rain, snow, shine, whatever. I'm going to be right here, Lord. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter how deep I fall, I'll get up and keep walking. Lord, if you get me out of this one, Lord, I promised you that I'm going to serve you. And are you doing that right now? Are you doing that right now? What promises did you make to God? Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for the plumb line. We all need to measure our lives. Not with the neighbors. Not with anybody else. Except you. What do you want me to do, ask Saul. Maybe today you're here and you do not know the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to begin a relationship with the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. He loves you. He cares for you. He has the best for you. He has a plan for your life. But you need to give him your life so he can move forward. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need to be baptized, and I just got to make the decision. I got to do it now. Do it. Obey the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're looking for a home church, and you're undecided. Say, Lord, this is the place. I got to do it now. The time to do it is now. Maybe you're here today, and when the plumb line drops and it stops moving, you realize how unspiritual you are. And you want to tell God, God, I'm sorry. I have not been and not lived like a child. Can I do it again? And the answer from heaven is, yes, you can. Come back. While the praise team leads us, Maybe you have a decision. I'll be right here in the front. Or maybe you just want to come and pray at the altar.
If you will stand and for our hymn of invitation, hymn number 529.
Us in prayer, please.